This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's a little after 4:30, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the Environmental Stewardship Fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm a sophomore at-large member of the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $160,000 by the end of the 2015-2016 school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. So this week, I'm joined by Shane Tedder. He is the Sustainability Coordinator for UK and also the Staff Advisor for the SSC. And we're just going to do something a little bit different this week. We're going to just sort of have a year-in-review reflection show to just sort of look back on what the Council and the UK community has accomplished in the way of sustainability over the last year. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks, Lauren. That's one heck of an intro for the show. I mean, you do it so well, but there is a lot of information conveyed there in the intro.
Well, so. Thank you. I try.
Yeah.
Well, to just sort of start things off, I thought it would be nice to sort of go into detail about the process that things undergo and to get funding from the SSC, since that's not something that a lot of listeners may be, automatically familiar with.
Yeah, that'd be great. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Pax and Isabel. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance they're out there listening on the radio. That's my son and daughter. Real proud of both of them. So if you're out there, Pax and Isabel, hey.
Your dad's awesome. That's what's happening.
So circling back. year in review show. The SSC just wrapped up its seventh year.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been on campus since the fall of 2009, and they were created after the Board of Trustees approved a new student fee in the spring of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That fee was the Environmental Stewardship Fee, and it started as a 75-cent per student fee per semester.
Grown.
And then they used it so well in the first year that they doubled it. And then they used it so well in the second year that they doubled it again. And then I think it held steady for a year at $1.50 a student. And then they were able to make a successful presentation to double it again to $3 per student. And then 2 years ago, increased it to the $3.50 per student that's currently paid.
Mm-hmm.
Going way back, the origins of this are... more than a decade ago, there were student leaders from UK who traveled to a conference at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill,
mm-hmm.
and learned from UNC as well as University of Tennessee about this concept of student-funded sustainability, of creating a student fee that could then be used to fund projects on campus. And so the student leaders who attended that conference came back and immediately started work. The first 2 years of work on that, so like 2006 and 7 and 7 and 8 maybe, are soap opera like in terms of the trials and tribulations that these student leaders encountered, primarily with student government. There were a couple elected officials who were, in hindsight, really kind of obstructionists to the process, and the students were trying to use a democratic process or the processes that were in place. But that's a whole nother story. We'll leave that one alone. They worked for 4 years each year gathering signatures. And so finally they got a 2007, I think, 6 or 7, there was a resolution on the student government ballot that said, would you be in favor of a $6 to $8 fee per year to support, The ballot actually read renewable energy projects at UK. And so that was the catalyst. And then it evolved from that referendum evolved into the environmental stewardship fee, which has obviously, as you know, broader impact than just renewable energy projects.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's a fun kind of background. And after the fee was established, the SSC was created to oversee how it was spent. And so with any of our student fee-funded programs like WRFL or the Student Activities Board or Student Government, there's a ton of, you know, they're really student-led in terms of how those fees are spent. So the SSC was formed and is currently structured in a way to make sure that those funds are spent in a way that promotes sustainability on our campus and has real and meaningful impacts on our students.
Absolutely. Definitely. So what's the sort of process that a project undergoes before being implemented?
You know, that's one of the neatest things about the ESF, which is the fund, and the SSC, who oversee it. So I use those interchangeably sometimes. But it's a really nimble funding process that's available to faculty, staff, and students. Mm-hmm. And so if you've never written a grant proposal before, it's not intimidating. It's very approachable, and you can knock it out.
Absolutely.
If you have written a grant proposal before and you look at it, you probably do a happy dance. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this is so easy. So any member of the UK community can apply, faculty, staff, or student. Proposals have to be received a week ahead of the meeting where they're going to be voted on. For the last 2 years, the SSC has met twice a month because the demand has been high enough and there's been enough to do. But they'll always meet at least monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the funding's available throughout the year. There are four student directors, and the student directors and I get together ahead of the meeting and review the proposals after they come in. And as a staff advisor, I just make sure that everything that comes in a proposal would be technically possible and legal to fund should the students vote to fund it. And so that's kind of the glance that I give all the proposals at first, because mm-hmm. I really don't weigh in on the appropriateness of them as mm-hmm. long as they're legitimate and we could fund them. I let the SSC determines whether or not it's appropriate, and I don't get involved in that business. So then the directors will look at them. If they feel like there's any questions needed to clarify a particular proposal, they'll write back to the person who submitted it, get those answers, and then the full council gets together, and often with a presentation from the group that presented, deliberates, votes, and then within 48 hours, the folks know whether or not they got the funding. So really an exciting process. And I have to, my hat's off to you guys. I mean, Lauren, you're a member of the group and will be an officer next year. It is a really incredibly well-run process. You guys do a great job.
Absolutely. That was something that I was really amazed at because this is my first year on the council. I just got on in August. So that was something that I was really amazed by, is that I walked in there and I was expecting, honestly, mostly older grad students, and we have quite a few of those, obviously, but it's very much an eclectic group of students, and I was really surprised by how, like you said, just organized and efficiently everything was run, and I thought that was really amazing to see how the care that was being taken with the students' money, because it is a really big responsibility.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And you want to do it, I mean, and I'll echo that. The kind of the attention that's given to being good stewards of that student fund
mm-hmm.
Is a really impressive component of what happens in those meetings. And I really appreciate all the time and effort that you all put in. I mean, you put in hours each month reading mm-hmm. these proposals and discussing them. And you know, you may first hear about a student organization at the University of Kentucky called the Student Sustainability Council and think, oh, wow, that'd be a fun group to be a part of. They probably do a bunch of things.
Right.
You know, really what you do is sit in a room, follow Robert's Rules of Order, and provide funding. But without a doubt, the SSC has been the catalyst for sustainability-driven projects and change on the campus over the last decade. I mean,
absolutely.
There's nothing that's happened in the lots of months and lots of years that I've been here that has had the impact that the SSE has had.
Most definitely.
So, you know, just kind of some big picture numbers looking back at 7 years. I was looking at my financials this morning. you all have allocated since 2009 over $860,000 to sustainability related projects on campus.
Dang.
And have, you know, have enabled and catalyzed so many neat things. All of our outdoor recycling bins were, you know, they're co-funded by PPD now, but the SSC greased the wheels and made that possible. The solar panels on Argan, the bottle fillers in the buildings, the symposiums, the Dimension of Political Ecology conferences, grad student research that's sustainability related, and travel. It's just amazing if you look at the list of projects over the last 7 years. So what that also means, that that 860 number, knowing that you generate $160,000 a year, is that next year you get to celebrate the 1 millionth dollar that you guys have allocated to sustainability projects on campus. So that's super exciting, too.
Big deal, yeah. Especially something that I've really enjoyed about it is that, you know, on the national scale, Kentucky gets such a bad rep for being, you know, quote unquote, a poor environmental steward. But coming here from as an out-of-state student and automatically getting involved.
Where are you from?
I'm from Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
also not high on the list of environmental stewardship. But
absolutely. So it was something that I was used to, but I really wasn't expecting to come here and find such a community, I guess, of like-minded people and environmentalists, people that are so passionate and driven about making this a better place for, you know, the future generations, the three pillars of sustainability that sustain the entire concept. So
it is, without a doubt, the best part of my job is that I get to work with the students that you're talking about on a regular basis. You know, in the case of like the Student Sustainability Council, it's a very collaborative, I mean, all of the is very collaborative, but I serve in an advisor role. But in other ways, I work with those students where I'm constantly challenged to be doing a better job at my job and pushing the university to do more and be more. And so, regardless of the dynamics of the interaction, whether or not it's in an advisor role or being pushed to be better, it's absolutely the best part of my work.
Most definitely.
Love it.
So I mentioned this at the beginning of, you know, every show, and you said something about it earlier, but we encumber close to $160,000 a year, which is a huge number to think about for most college students when we're, you know, broke on a budget. But how much of that have we encumbered this year, and what all do we have left over?
You've encumbered all but $200.
Oh, wow. So, there we go.
So the meeting last week, last Wednesday, six projects were considered and all were fully funded, and that took your encumbrances, your available funds, down to $218.
Wow.
Just because you encumbered it, it may not spend out quite that tight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I oversee kind of how those funds get doled out to the projects. And occasionally a project won't spend everything they ask for, but but we never encumber more than we have.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. that, you know, so $165,000 in projects came from, you all received 37 proposals.
Mm-hmm.
Requesting a total of more than $200,000, and then you awarded, you actually awarded $153,000. There was some encumbrances from the previous year that a little bit of your all's money covered, just to keep everything rolling. So 32 funded projects, everything from a grad student who's studying Marshall Eagles in East Africa.
That was a cool proposal.
And he's a former director of operations, but and we're talking about Stratton Hatfield. Stratton, if you're listening out there, I'm a big Stratton Hatfield fan. I just want the world to know that, and I hope to someday go on safari with Stratton in Africa.
Yeah.
Pax actually asked me about that about once a year. How old do I have to be to go on a trip with your friend in Africa? So I'm shooting for eight. So a couple years, we're gonna be over there, Stratton. But you know, everything from that to seminars in urban forestry to scholarships for students who want to be able to take the LEED green associate training, so kind of professional development for students, to support for Campus Kitchens, which is an organization that works to reduce food waste and combat hunger in our community at the same time. So just an incredible diversity of projects.
Absolutely. We're actually actually going to take a short break, and then we're going to be right back. Support for WRFL is provided in part by Scushel Media. Scushel Media is a bookstore and gift shop in Lexington, selling a selection of new and used books, as well as cards, toys, and other items. Scushel Media is located at 371 South Limestone and can be reached at 859-255-4316. WRFL thanks Scushel for supporting college radio. Welcome back. I'm Lauren Thomas, your host for Green Talks, and I'm here with Shane Tedder, the Sustainability Coordinator for UK, and we're just sort of having a year-in-review show about all that the Student Sustainability Council has accomplished over the years. So, I'm sorry, remind me what we were talking about. We got sidetracked with the proposal about Africa.
We're talking about the diversity of projects that we funded this year. So we're, everything from eagles to hunger relief and food reduction to seminar series and... all kinds of. What was your favorite project this year?
Oh gosh, that's going to be a really hard one to pick out. I really enjoyed talking with the winners of the challenge grants. I think that's a really amazing opportunity that you're not going to get a lot of other places. We've had a few of them on the show, and talking especially with Taisha Beard about her project about going into.
Ty is such a powerhouse.
Yeah, she was awesome. And just the scope of her and Xavier, that's her partner's name.
Also, Xavier is a former SSC member.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So just seeing the scope of their project and, how much that's affecting the kids that they're working with and the community in general, because they're using it as such catalyst to really affect a greater change within the Lexington community. And I just think that's... awesome. And I mean, I kind of fangirled over the Marshall Eagle proposal a little bit, so
it's definitely easy to understand.
Definitely a toss-up between quite a few. What about yours?
Well, you know, you hit on one of the ones that I think is super exciting, which is the Sustainability Challenge Grant program. And so that's a program where the SSE provides some money into a pool of funds that then is another set of proposals. So it's a little bit complex, but yeah. Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. But so the Challenge Grant program is funded by four different organizations. It was funded by four different areas of the campus this year. So the Executive Vice President for Finance and Administration provided half of the funding, so $100,000. And then the other $100,000 came from, in equal parts, the Provost, the Vice President for Research, and the Student Sustainability Council. So you've got this really neat funding structure of the university business operations, the provost, so undergraduate education and curriculum, the vice president for research, and students. So it's a really neat structure to fund. And then this $200,000 pool is available to, we solicit proposals from faculty or staff-led teams that are interdisciplinary and that address a sustainability challenge. And then that they use the campus as a living laboratory and have high levels of student engagement. So those are the things we're looking for when we review those proposals. This was the second year of the program. We funded 7 proposals this year and 7 the previous year. We're at 14. And now that the dust has kind of settled on the budget situation for the coming 2 years, we're working with our funding partners to see what's possible for a third year for the program.
Right.
But yeah, I really love that project as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the living campus. I'm sorry, living laboratory on campus.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does that mean? Entail?
Oh, entails a lot of things. When I think about it in the terms of the types of academic programs and research that we have going on campus, and the types of operations that we have on campus where. We've got an 800-acre area, 40,000 people live and study here, 17 million square feet of building space. And so the opportunity to integrate those research concepts and those curricular learning objectives with the operations of the campus. And so that's what I think of when I think of it as a living laboratory. So, for instance, we've... one of the challenge grant programs we funded is this year. It's called Point of Departure, mm-hmm. and it's an interdisciplinary team composed of faculty and staff from the College of Design, mm-hmm. Marty Summers, and the Center for Applied Energy Research, staff member out there named Michael Wilson, working with electrical engineering and College of Design students on a really broad and encompassing concept for a new type of bus stop on campus, one that really integrates a lot of educational features. And there, it's looking like they're going to be able to actually build what they design. They've gotten a lot of traction, and so they're in the process now of really defining their design documents and hopefully getting to a point where they have construction documents that will be able to put out on the street for a bid and then actually build this shelter. Mm-hmm. Likely to be solar powered and really kind of address what I think is what we're moving into is kind of a new, it may sound cheesy to say, but a new era in transportation on campus where Absolutely. We're really focusing on modes other than single occupancy vehicles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think without a doubt, and no, please nobody call the station and berate us for talking about this, but without a mm-hmm. doubt, we're going to have capacity for people to drive to campus.
Yeah.
But also without a doubt, there are people who drive to campus who could get here another way. Mm-hmm. And so shifting that mode from right now, very, very heavily dependent on single occupancy vehicles and sharing that load out with public transit, walking, biking, and just seeing a lot of investments and a lot of new developments that are making that easier. You know, Blue Pass is all faculty, staff, and students ride LexTran for free. University has invested a lot of money over the last few years improving its bike infrastructure and is doing the same now, making sure that ped access is there. So, mm-hmm. So all that's kind of tied in. That was a long, rambly answer to what a living laboratory is. But those challenge grants are exciting. And another one of my favorite projects that you guys have funded is the solar installation on the Argan building.
Yeah.
That one's really neat because it's a partnership between the Student Sustainability Council and the Physical Plant Division's Utilities Group. And that group, in terms of this project, is led by our energy engineer, Brittany Thompson. Mm-hmm. And phase one was completed last spring break. It's a 30 kW array on the south-facing roof of the Argan building in the engineering quad. Mm-hmm. And phase two is two more wings on either side of that, and that'll be done this summer. Then that'll make that a 56 kilowatt array.
Wow.
Which produces enough electricity each year to power six houses.
Whew.
Which is, that's cool, right? So you look up at that roof and you're like, if that roof was in a field, you could have six houses around it and would provide all the electricity they need. But it only provides 3% of the electricity that that building uses because that building is large and has some intense energy equipment in it. Mm-hmm. So payback is pretty neat. You know, the payback on that system was about 20 years, mm-hmm. which is still a little too long for the university to seriously consider investing a lot of money in mm-hmm. solar. But if you consider the SSC's funds to be a renewable energy incentive pool, mm-hmm. similar to a state or a federal rebate or refund, then it kicks the payback period all the way down to 10 or 11 years. Mm-hmm. And that's getting into the sweet spot. That 8 to 10 years is really the sweet spot where it really starts to make sense to go ahead and invest in those type of developments. You know, a solar system will have a 25-year lifespan. So for two-thirds, if you get it down to 8 years, for two-thirds of the life of the system, it's paid off, and the electricity that you're receiving from it is just kind of gravy. Mm-hmm. You're getting it for the operations and maintenance costs on the system.
Yeah. I mean, both of those points bring up a really good point that I was thinking about earlier, is just that even if some of these projects seem like they're, you know, small scale or really just campus-centric, they open these really big doors, mm-hmm. I think, to have a larger discussion about what it means to be sustainable and environmentally friendly in your daily life, but much less on campus. So I think that's a really important part of, you know, what we've done and what we continue to do and what our mission is.
Absolutely. I mean, generating those discussions and creating space for those discussions to happen is a really neat thing about the projects you guys fund.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about how you can get involved.
Yeah.
With the SSC.
Absolutely.
I think the most exciting way to get involved is to submit a proposal, mm-hmm. is to have an idea for something that you want to see done on campus and submit a funding proposal. And if you have an idea that you want to see done, but you're not really sure where to start with coming up with what it would cost, get in touch with me. It's just uky.edu/sustainability. Mm-hmm. And we can talk through what's been done, what's been tried, what resources are there, and really start to kind of firm up the idea and put some numbers to it, and then submit a proposal. And that's probably the most exciting way. But yeah. If you really love Robert's Rules of Order and like meeting and reading about all these others and want to be a part of distributing the funds, there are two ways to get involved there. And both of them really are opportunities that come about in the spring. Mm-hmm. So we've just selected the council for 2016-2017. Looks like it's going to be 23 people, which is the max size, which is super exciting, awesome. Which means we'll be meeting at like 4 in the morning because it's impossible to find a time when 23 students can meet.
Right.
So look for, starting in like January, February, look for the call for applicants for to be a member. Meetings are open to the public. So if you just want to come see how it works and decide if it's for you, come to any of the meetings. And the SSC's webpage is hosted by the campus sustainability website.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So on that note, that's sort of all I have to touch on. If you have anything else?
I would just say congrats on a great year of Green Talks.
Thank you.
And a really seamless handing off of the baton between you and Ellen.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the show again next year. And,
absolutely.
And I love that you do it. So thanks for all the effort you put into making this show possible.
Yeah, it's been an amazing ride. I'm really excited to sort of take it over full time and make that transition. And I think it's going to be really rewarding and awesome. It's been a great semester.
Well, for all you WRFL listeners out there who are going to not have Green Talks on Wednesday afternoon for the next few weeks, we're sorry.
Very much so.
But we'll be back. We'll be back in August.
Yes, we will. So over the summer, you can keep up with projects and events happening on the website, uky.edu/sustainability. And as always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding from the ESF. We'll be hearing proposals back in the fall, so any project ideas, obviously, Shane mentioned, you can get in touch with him and you can submit them then. And you can also like us on Facebook at UKYSSC or follow us on our new Twitter under the same name. So we will see you guys back here in the fall. Thanks for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.